How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 516. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. All right, well, we've got a good show to put together today. We're going to start off with pretty big news. This is we're a couple weeks. All right, how long has it been since our last episode? I guess it's been a week or two. But anyways, it seems like a long time. And since then, Adobe has announced their intention to acquire Semrush, which shook our industry a bit. It's pretty impressive, especially considering the acquisition is probably going to be nearly $2 billion. They expect it's going to close in the first half of 2026. And, for 2024, Semrush reported $376.8 million in revenue. I just don't get where these 2 billion things come in, but anyway,
in a million years, if you had asked me what I thought Semrush would be worth, it wouldn't even be close to their reported revenue for 2024. I had no idea they were making that kind of money. I think it said they had 111,000 paid users, and their rates are they're bonkers lately.
Bonkers. Yeah. They nickel and dime the crap out of you. Not a big fan. I aspects of what they do, I like a lot and always have. I love their system for doing any kind of research. It's what I've used since they started, but it just got kind of ridiculous. Yeah, it's too bad. Anyway, someone said that, when Adobe buys something, it's where they go to die. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully Semrush will survive in some way or form, at least in the base form that I love using it for, which is doing analysis of a person's existing rankings right off the bat. I mean, it's not perfect, but to be able to go in there and just see where someone probably is and what they've been doing and up and down and, whether they had good rankings last year or whether or not they've been in an upward swing for the last 5 years. It's just very useful. Data's not dead on, but just a picture is fantastic. It's worth 1,000 words from these kinds of tools. All right, what next? My favorite topic, SEO.
I know you love it.
GEO or AI SEO or ASO.
You forgot LLMAO. Wasn't that a band in like the 90s or something? LLMFAO, right?
All right, well, fill us in.
Yeah. So what do you use? Yeah. There's so many, can we just stick with SEO and just say it's for AI? I don't know. So the terminology in AI era search is evolving, as everybody knows, with GEO, generative engine optimization is emerging as the most popular label for optimizing brand visibility across AI platforms. Survey data has shown that 84% of marketers recognize GEO, but only 14% use traditional SEO to describe optimizing brand visibility. The rise of AI-specific terms like ASO, ASO?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that one. Answer search optimization, talk about awkward, and AISO, artificial intelligence search optimization, reflect a shift towards more precise language and AI-driven search strategies. I don't like either of those terms, by the way. companies are hiding under broader term AISO.
Hiring.
What did I say?
Hiding.
Hiding. Yeah, well, sure. Well, I guess I'd want to hide too, I guess. hiring under the broader term AISO, indicating a preference for AI-related SEO skills. The market continues to see SEO as fundamental, which is good, with AI elements being layered on top to adapt the search and discovery dynamics. I was actually going through our site and I found an old post, and it was, what is the difference between SEO and SEM? And it kind of fits here too. Like SEO is a subset of SEM, and AI, O, GEO, whatever you want to call it, is a subset of SEO. It's all just SEM, really. So,
well, that's what I like to say, but I think that article was probably written by me because I hate these terms being used so wrong. But SEM, search engine marketing. I mean, you know, to me, that includes search engine optimization. Includes, it's an umbrella term.
Yeah.
But no,
yes,
it's become bastardized in the industry. They say search engine marketing is things like paid ads and all that kind of stuff. It's not SEO.
That's true.
That's what they say.
I don't view it that way.
I don't see it that way at all, but that's whatever. Doing it, long it comes enough, to, it makes no sense to me that they do that.
It's kind of the same though. Like if we're looking at these AI terms, it's just, what do people want to call it? I mean, what you do doesn't change. So I don't know. But with the AI stuff, like you don't have this list in here. I just want to point out some of these because I hadn't seen some of these. So we've got GEO, AEO, AISEO, which we just said, AIO, Artificial Intelligence Optimization. Then there's LLMO, SXO, Search Experience Optimization, LLMAO, and AISO. It's like, can we just pick one? I guess that's kind of the point here, is a survey. It's like trying to pick what are people using versus what do people want to use. And I think there was a bit of a disconnect because in that one article at Search Engine Land, marketers tend to lean towards GEO. And I thought I saw the opposite for what, I can't find it now, darn. The end users were using different acronyms. So you kind of, as a marketer, you want to use the acronym that your customers are probably using, even if you don't like it, because that's what they're using. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so if you confusion. Really want to make it simple, you'd think AI SEO. It's what people understand. Yeah. If I'm talking to clients, I say AI SEO. I don't say GEO. I don't say any of these stupid terms.
No.
Try to be crazy.
What's a generative engine? Nobody knows what that is, like we do, but
it's just
the average person doesn't know those.
And the problem is there's enough unethical jerks out there who are trying to confuse people with these terms. They're baffle-gabbing them. I'd just like to say, in SEO, we do AI SEO. It's just another form of search engine optimization. That's it. It's that simple. Yeah. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. And just put your antenna up. When that's what I tell my clients anyway. Put your antenna up for the bullshit. When someone's writing and using all of these terms, it just looks to me like they're trying to be self-important and trying to scare people. It's not always the case, I grant you, but I'm very careful to look out for that. It's a difference. It is a fairly substantial change in how everything is going to work. Granted, it's enough to give us, nightmares when we're thinking about all the different changes that are coming. But it's also exciting, and it's all just part of SEO. That's my pick.
I agree.
All right. Well, let's jump into SEO news. The Google Thanksgiving update. What's this all about?
This is another update that we don't know anything about that Barry's reporting on starting this week, a couple days before Thanksgiving. And I'm just mentioning it. So if you see anything crazy, let us know. And also to point out the fact how Google loves to do updates right before holidays. They're known for, hey, you're going to take a long weekend? Nope. We're going to stop that right now. You want to go away for Christmas? Nope. You're going to be working on your website instead. Why don't they just wait till Monday, Tuesday? Wait till after Cyber Monday, right? And I don't know. But
too easy.
Keep your eyes peeled for a turkey update. You should have called it the turkey update. Yes. That's what I would have done.
All right. Well, Google has released Gemini 3. This is from Sundar Pichai. He's the CEO of Google. He says, and now we're introducing Gemini 3, our most intelligent model that combines all of Gemini's capabilities together so you can bring any idea to life. Google added that Gemini 3 has state-of-the-art reasoning, deep multimodal understanding, powerful vibe coding, improved agentic capabilities. And Scott has asked Gemini, what makes it better? What are these questions?
I just said, hey, Gemini, what makes you better now with being 3? I said that really badly. Anyways, the answers it gave me was a deeper structural reasoning, superior mathematical and abstract reasoning, nerd, and higher coding accuracy. So there we go. Those are the three things that Gemini told me are the best. So,
all right. Well,
it likes to brag about itself.
There's some pretty phenomenal videos right now on YouTube if you look for them, that are interviews with top AI talent and where they think things are going. And one in particular, I'm going to try and hunt it down during the show and I'll bring it up again, but I thought was fascinating. And it talked about how, just as we all suspect, if you put any thought into it, you probably realize that the AI that we see, the model that we're able to access, is not the model that other people can access. They can hire, they can use much higher end. They probably already have Gemini 4 in Google or something close to it that they're using and their partners are using. This is definitely the case. I believe it was for OpenAI. There are higher levels of AI that are being used before it's being passed on to the public. So when I see Sundar say our most intelligent model, it's our most intelligent model for the public.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is in this interviews with these incredibly talented people, they're generally quite blunt. His last one definitely was. And he said that we have no idea what's coming. It's just, you know, we all think of AI as being that stupid assistant we have right now that kind of works once in a while and has a lot of dumb thoughts and says silly things. And that's gone. It's long gone in what's happening behind the scenes. What's coming with these agentic models that we're already seeing, but at the next level, is night and day. It's just that big a change that's coming. So I, you know, talking to people and the average person who isn't as deeply into this as I am and our colleagues and stuff, they just have kind of dismissed AI as being this dummy thing that, yes, someday we'll get smarter. It's not someday. It's already happened. We just haven't seen it yet, and it's coming out. And I think Gemini 3 is the first shot off our bow on that. Apparently, it's that much better. So I'm really interested to give it a shot and see whether or not how much better it is. But it is extremely sobering, to put it mildly. You know that, and this I'll finish this last stat because this just blew my mind. Of the leaders in AI, the most positive person has approximately said that there's a 20% chance that AI will eliminate humanity. 20%. That's the most positive outlook. That's Russian roulette. Like, that's crazy. Whereas the person that I was watching, and again, I wish I had a sharper memory, but said his is 50%. He believes it's 50-50. Well, let's just keep soldiering on and building it then.
Yeah. 50-50.
Oh, crazy.
Flip of a coin. Do we live? Do we die? Well, we don't know yet. Let's build it and find out.
Well, we might get some neat stuff, and we'll definitely be getting richer. Those big guys are going to get richer. That makes everyone happy, I guess. Oh, brother. Anyway,
makes some crazy people happy.
While you do this, I'll look up that particular video. But this is ChatGPT adds more images to answers. What's this all about?
Yeah, so we've got a new update over at ChatGPT, and it will be expanding image use for whatever you're searching for. So it's getting images from the web for answers about people, places, products, and other common topics. Images will be added where they can add clarity. They will appear next to the most relevant text in the result. Clicking these images will allow you to see their original dimensions and source attribution. And it's now available on web, iOS, and Android. It is only functioning currently using GPT 5.1. So, and look at that. You found the video. That was like beautiful timing. I've been kind of waiting for something like this.
Yeah, so the name of the video is We Have 900 Days Left. How's that for scary? That's all right, the title.
Time to defer my mortgage renewal and stop paying. And
oh, man, It's crazy. It's by the person being interviewed was Imad Mostak. Probably butchered the name, I'm sorry. Not that he cares, he's certainly not listening. But and it he's the person who invented him and his team invented stable diffusion. He's all about creating AI for the public and not making it closed doors. He wants everyone to be able to see it, to make it open source, that kind of thing. Pretty cool guy. A really, really, really interesting and frankly kind of bone-chilling interview because he doesn't hold back. He says what's wrong with the system and what they're doing and why they shouldn't be doing it. It's crazy. Well worth the watch, anyone listening. So yes, I'm nerding out on this stuff. I can't help it. It's just too crazy how much is happening right now. And
So,
we're not even seeing a sliver of it, I think. Really.
if you're, I think the word's narcoleptic when you fall asleep easily. If you are that, this is a cure because it's going to wake you up and your eyes are going to pop open and you're not going to be able to sleep and you're going to have
You
waking
can thank me.
nightmares and
Yeah,
yeah. And then
thank
thank Ross, give him a call. He
It's all about the
particularly likes
likes.
if you call his cell phone at 2 a.m. So.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, so there's a new Google Map features in local SEO news, and we're going to end off with another whammy here and a little rant because that I think you'll all understand the reason for. But why don't you do this beginning part there, Scott? No, before you go.
Sure. No, before you go, so this is a new, there are two new search features or map features that Google added the week of November 20th, somewhere around there. No, before you go is a neat little section that Google adds on its own, pulling information from user reviews and things it finds online. And it displays parking tips, secret menu items, ways to book a reservation, details about where the entrance is, if it's obscure, that sort of thing. This is rolling out in the US right now on iOS and Android. I get a bit nervous about stuff like this because I don't like how it's pulling this information from reviews and whatever else it finds online because that tells me I could maybe game it a little bit to hurt my competition. Like tell them the entrance is around the back in the alley next to the dumpster. I don't know. Like, you know, you depending on where Google pulls this content from, I think it should be something that at least is controlled somewhat by the business owner. But maybe it will be someday. I don't know. So might be a great feature. We're going to find out. We'll see how well AI does it, discovering these tips and how good they actually are.
Yeah, we will. And we'll see some really fun mistakes probably.
Oh, we'll complain about those too. Stay tuned to a future episode. Yeah. No,
Yes.
we'll talk about it for sure.
Well, this one really fired me up, and a lot of people are fired up about this. Google has, and they did it in such a kitschy way too. It was just a terrible article, this one, in the sense they just, what did they say? They called it a secret Santa. Let me just read it because it was just so cringy. Oh, poop. It's the wrong URL. Oh, you were using Search Engine Land Zero. Darn it. I had the original out. I thought you had the right one. I
Mine's not
can't.
wrong, it's just different.
Yes, sorry.
Not
yes.
my fault if all the major players are
Okay.
reporting the same
Okay. I
stories.
managed to click through and find it. Okay. So it's called Secret Santa. So get this. Be your local business's secret Santa. Leaving a great review for that bakery with your favorite pumpkin pie is a simple way to spread some holiday cheer. If you prefer not to use your real name, why? You can choose a nickname and profile picture to be associated with your reviews, so you can give that helpful shop a 5-star review as Eager Elf or Julia Loves Sweets. And don't worry about Grinches trying to spoil the fun. Our built-in protection still monitor for su still, I'll underline that,
Still?
monitor for suspicious and fake reviews 24/7. Since no matter what nickname you use publicly, reviews are still associated with your Google account behind the scenes. This feature is rolling out this month globally on Android, iOS, and desktop. OMG. So they just essentially said, "Hey, all you hackers and nasty people out there, you can use anonymous reviews now. It doesn't matter that it's connected to their Google account. These people are doing it anyway." honestly don't think it's going to change how they do it, but you are going to, because they actually get a better chance of being able to extort you. I mean, we talked about that in a past show where there are extortions happening regularly for local businesses where guys are posting many, many negative reviews and then saying, hey, we'll take these down for X amount of dollars in Bitcoin. And that's happening all the time right now. One of the benefits, okay, I'll give a benefit. And we were talking about this earlier, a benefit in air quotes, because I really don't think it's much of one, is that like therapists and people who would normally never get reviews might find this really helpful because people can leave a personal review and feel like they're not telling everyone that they've got an issue. That sounds grand. I love that idea, but it's not going to help their Google business profile when there are fake names. It just looks fake. It's not helping anyone. Anyway, they claim that this is not going to lead to more spammy reviews, like, because they're still doing their review. How bad are they now? It's terrible. Like, there's a ton of garbage out there. How can they say that they're doing a great job and then add this to the mix? I just don't see the point. Sorry, go on.
You're talking about how they are doing a terrible job getting rid of bad reviews. Like, how often have you seen, this is an example that I'm making up, but I've seen similar things, like maybe for a car rental place and it says 1 star, worst pizza I've ever had, you know, stuff like that, where maybe it's the review for the wrong business or someone's just being an idiot. Google can't seem to find those. How are they going to find these ones where they're written up and crafted to look real, but they're extortion based?
Yeah. And those are the extortion ones that they're hopefully truly trying to help weed out. I actually believe they probably are, and of that new form that they set up and all that information. But I just think they're inviting more mayhem and misery for very little benefit. I just don't think it's going to be worthwhile. And, you know, I did a little research, and November 27th, 2012 is approximately, because that was when the article was written, but approximately the time when Google removed the ability to leave an anonymous review. And they connected it to a Google profile. It says, from now on, reviews will be posted publicly under your Google Plus name and picture. Remember the Google Plus days? Anyway, your name on previous reviews will appear as a Google user. So from that point on, you couldn't leave anonymous reviews. And I think we all breathed a sigh of relief because that's just so much better. But I just don't see an upside to this. If I'm wrong, please tell me, like, where do you see this being a real benefit, listeners? You know, drop a note. I would love to know. If I'm missing something entirely, I will be the first to admit, I just don't see this being anything but bad news. Fingers crossed it isn't, but I just don't see it being a good thing.
No, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Just gives us more material.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about Google business profiles.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back to SCO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Okay, Google Business Profiles add scheduling and multi-location publishing to Google Posts. Fill us in.
Yeah, so just a couple new features. If next time you're logged into your account, check it out. Scheduling of posts is now an option. So you can type out your post and pick your day and time for when you want it to appear, which, to be honest, why haven't they had this forever? So many things allow you to schedule posts. All social media platforms allow it. Well, do they all? I don't know. There are lots of tools out there. I don't know why Google took so long, but they've done it now, which is great. I think it's going to make life easier for a lot of people who manage multiple accounts. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go through in the day and just, you know, put out your 20 posts for the month. I mean, you can't always think that far in advance, but sometimes you can, and that's great. And if you have multiple locations, you can now manage them a bit more easily. If you say you have a post that you want pasted across all your locations, you can post it once and with a single click, transfer that post to all locations that you're managing. So that could be good as well. Maybe spammy, but probably not because the locations are in different places.
No, it's so great. If you got a sale or something that's important, that's great. We don't deal with too many multi-location businesses. We got a few and we love working on them, but it's kind of like, if you think about it, how long have Google Business Profiles been around? Obviously by other names over the years, but
a few.
Why has it taken it so darn long for this to be implemented? I know. Anyway, I'm glad it has. I'm so glad. It must be making people very happy. I'm sure a lot of them are using third-party tools, using the Google Business Profile API to do this, but now they can do it within the system, which is great. Good for you, Google. Keep it up.
Oh, I just asked AI real quick, what were all the previous Google Business Profile names? And it gave me four, but I thought there were more than that. Google Places, Google Plus Local, Google My Business, Google Business Profile. Was there another one in there? I thought there was more.
That sounds about right.
Oh. Anyways.
But in their short, cares, relatively short, yeah, you know, real, you know, it's probably been 17 years. I'm not sure how long, ask Google there. Well, how long is Google Business? How long has it been around, Google Local? It's what, 2008, 2009? Not sure.
Thinking. 2014, June 11th, 2014. Oh, so wow. 11 years, less than I thought.
And you think it's changed their name? I think you think about it. They changed that name four times in that time. That's crazy.
I guess that's every 2.5 years. I guess when we do our New Year's show, where it's going to have to be, what's Google Business Profile going to be called by the end of this year?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's jump into some Mueller files here. Background video loading is unlikely to affect SEO. A website owner posted to Reddit's RSEO asking if 100 megabyte video would hurt SEO if the page prioritizing loading a hero image, would hurt SEO if the page prioritizing loading a hero image and content before the video. Sorry, you're going to have to read this. You wrote this.
If the page prioritizes loading the hero image before the actual video, the video loads in the background while users can already see the post. This is like word for word from the post. So I guess it was essentially, if you have a large video, in this case, they're using 100 meg example. Like, why is it so big? Maybe try to make it smaller. But if it's loading in the background and other stuff prioritizes first, is that going to hurt SEO? And John's response, I don't think you'd notice an SEO effect. Google's web.dev documentation recommends using preload equals none on video elements. This helps prevent browsers from downloading video content until it's needed. Mm-hmm. Also, when videos are loading in this effect, in this manner, they don't affect your core web vital scores. So you're good. As long as it's loading in the background and not, you know, the user opens a page and now they have to wait for this 100 megabyte video to download. While nothing happens. Yeah, that's going to be bad. That's definitely going to be bad. You can also add a poster attribute, which provides a placeholder image while videos continue loading in the background. And I'm not familiar with a poster attribute, so I need to look into that because I'm curious. But
so I'm not sure if this is what I was thinking, but one of the things I love to do, and this might just exactly be it, but I like to torture Dennis, our developer, by saying, okay, can you please put an image in here that when clicked will load the video? So it's like a thumbnail, not a thumbnail, but it's a graphic that looks much better than the placeholder that's put in by whatever YouTube or whatever system you're putting there, that doesn't have ads, that's designed with your branding and all that stuff. And when someone clicks on the play arrow, it kicks in the actual video and it disappears and the video kicks in. It looks so much better. It loads better. It's just win, win, win. But yeah, it's a little bit tricky to do.
I'm going to point something else out. Yeah, because of people like us up here in Canada, where our cell phone plans are absolutely tragic, I think most places, you know, you get unlimited data at top speeds and you don't have to worry about it. Well, here we pay a fortune for data. And if you have 100 meg video and I open up your website and you're using 100 megs of my data plan to view your menu page, I'm not going to be very happy about that. So, you know, think about that when you're putting video on a mobile site that your users, you know, may not have unlimited data capacity. So,
and this doesn't make much sense. I mean, I think there's must be more detail here, because 100 megabyte video doesn't mean it loads all at once. You would buffer perhaps a couple megs before you start playing. So I think it depends what's going on there. I don't know. It doesn't sound like the question. I mean, I think there's more to the question, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Anyway, I would agree. I don't think you'd see an SEO effect there. It makes sense. Good sense. And a little on the lighter side here, Google's John Mueller joked on the future of GOT talks. I love this because we talked about this before too. But in response to a small rant from Ian Lurie, who, I love his rants. They're just great. He was mocking geotactics. So I'll just read off this. So Ian Lurie, all of you talking breathlessly about geo and then telling me your big tactic is to create better, more detailed content and cloaked AI bot only pages are making me pray for an asteroid that much harder. John Mueller responds, quote, don't forget all the geo detox work that will be paid for next year. The cycle of, quote, SEO, unquote, life. Need we say more? I'm sure that's going to be a line item for many people. So many people are thinking that SEO is so simple now that they can just follow these things and do this geo layout, and that's all they're going to need to do, and everything should be rewritten this way. Don't get me wrong. We're testing it on stuff. We found good results. I'd be very reluctant to load it on every single thing we do. At least without, and I guess if I did do that, I'd have to know ahead of time that I'd be willing to change it all next year when I do that GLD detox.
Yeah.
You know, there's a payoff and a certain amount of work involved. But one of the things that I've written about recently on SEO Grok, which unfortunately I'll be changing the name up soon, but that's another thing I'll talk about in the next show, is that following the AI, the guidelines for content these days that provide AI with its most friendly content, you know, broken into headings, starting with too long, didn't read at the beginning, all of these check marks that you should be following, these boxes you should be checking off. Well, it's going to be too formulaic. And at some point, it's just going to be gross for people to read, unless you're doing it very, very well, which of course I hope you are. But try to maintain your voice. Create a style that uses that, but not completely, that is still going to be great, great for AI, but it's something you can be proud of next year, 10 years down the line even, that is just great quality, but still has that piece of you in it and isn't just AI. just keep that in mind, okay? Because you'll be far happier and you won't have to spend that money next year or the year after doing the geo detox. It's very unlikely anyway. So do keep it in mind. It's just a small thing, but
it'll right. be a big mass deletion of Ndash.
Yes, yes. And to end things off, because I've had my fair share of rants, Scott has one.
It's like kind of a rant and a praise at the same time. I've mixed feelings about this. So this morning, I posted a new blog to our Stepforth blog. And it's like, we talked a few episodes ago about how to maintain rankings after a redesign. So this blog post is like a high-level overview of my really, really big article, and then it links over to that and stuff. And so I did that this morning, put that live, and within a couple hours, it was ranking number one organically, like within a couple hours. Like, I feel like I don't see that sort of thing happen that often. But for a very long-tail phrase, how do I maintain search engine rankings after a website redesign? So it's not a phrase that I really care a lot about. It may never get any traffic, but it was just like a quick test to see if it's in the index and see what's happening. And it was ranking number one organically. So at first I'm like, this is awesome. But there's an issue with the search result that, and this is a reason I'm even bringing this up, because it ticked me off. So when you do a search, at least in that instance, when I did the search, the first four results were paid, and under the new sponsored thing where it's, you know, you can't tell. They look like they're organic until you look closely. So that's annoying. First four results. Then we've got AI overviews. Thankfully, actually, this article I wrote is featured in the AI overview. It's cited in the thing. It's a second citation, which is awesome. But to see that, you have to expand the AI overview. Then you have to click the pay-per-click, and then it pops out on the box. Does anybody do that? Like, I do, but not really. So I don't even know if that is any use. Then after AI overviews, there were 9 links from sources across the web, a search feature at Google that shows sometimes. Then there were 3 videos in a video search feature. Then there was a discussion and forum search feature. And then my single organic ranking for me, which was great, but only one organic ranking. And then there were 2 more paid listings, and then 1 more organic listing. Okay, so now we've got 2 way down the page. This is a long page at this point. We're way down buried. Then there's a people also ask feature, and then 6 more organic listings at the very bottom.
Brief.
And it's just like this long forever page. And I thought, let's pretend this is a really high volume winning search term that everybody's fighting for. You're number one. You're still hardly getting any of it because you've got so much clutter above it. It's really, I wouldn't say zero click, because there are other things that people will click on. But as a search result, being number one, you know, if you're number one for everything and you're thinking, this is great, why am I not getting traffic? In some cases, this can be it, because Google's putting so much crap above your number one, you just don't get the clicks even when you're the best. So I don't know. Yeah. It makes me mad.
I know. I miss those 10 blue link days.
with the paid ads down the sidebar.
Yes. You know,
it was perfect.
That was the best. We're so old.
Speak for yourself. I'm 29 still.
Yeah, of course you're. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we haven't published a video yet, so no one knows.
I have so much hair, too. For those of you out there trying to visualize what I look like, I have this big, beautiful head of hair. Not bald at all.
I 100% agree. Yes. Okay. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everybody.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.